Time now on our pregame show to visit with Brent Bolte, head coach of the Beavers. It's presented by Choice Therapy. Get back to doing what you love with Choice Therapy. Brent, game last week at Augie. Seemed like for big chunks of that game, looked like both offenses were running in quicksand. Both defenses brought it last week, didn't they?
Yeah, I give Augie's defense a lot of credit. They were physical at the point of attack, made it hard running the football, and it was a physical, violent game, that's for sure. There's a lot of kids that I'm sure are still sore today. But on both sides, I thought it was weird. You felt like the defenses were running the show, and then all of a sudden, you know, you get an explosive play. And I think both offenses were very opportunistic in that regard. And he was able to, you know, get some points off turnovers and shorten the field where they got some easier scoring opportunities. And which led obviously to the ending. And, you know, the part that was also involved was just your special teams. Like, they missed a PAT, we missed a PAT, they missed a field goal. And, you know, look at that. If we were automatic with our, you know, extra points and, you know, feeling confident about going out, snap hold kick, you probably are winning the game with an extra point, but unfortunately that's not the way it shook down.
Typically missed kicks or block kicks, one element is just off in timing. Have you been able to pinpoint what's going on, or is still a work in progress?
I think everything is always a work in progress. I think on all three phases for us, and it's certainly not all the kickers and punters' fault. Obviously we had two glaring situations that showed up where, you know, we go to push them back and flip field positions where we line drive a punt off our own personal protector. There was really no pressure. He just didn't get outside the pocket, which was a little frustrating at that point with Max. He knows he can do better, and he's been putting the ball actually really, really well. Just need to continue to emphasize some base things with him. And then, you know, we've kind of been shuffling back with our kickers, PATs and field goals, and Max has certainly won that competition over the last week or two, but just his confidence level, just going out and striking the ball and just getting used to, you know, the timing of going out and then the pressure putting on, you know, at certain times of the game. So I think those, you know, Max and Connor are capable guys. They just got to get confident and continue to show it in practice and to show up in the game.
You tried to stay committed to the run as long as you could. What was Augie doing to bottle you guys up? And is what they did possible with a quote-unquote average defense?
You know, I don't think you can quote-unquote say they're average. They're pretty dang good. I think just the size of their kids up front, I think them and Mankato almost run identical defenses in terms of they're going to make it very tight alignments and very tough to run in between the tackles and you know, timely pressures on both of those teams' aspects and in terms of their philosophy. So when you have teams that are going to play that aggressive in the box and make you be a little bit more one-dimensional, you have to take advantage of it through the air. And unfortunately, you know, throwing it through the air can lead to some turnovers and some batted balls and some hits on your quarterback. So we need to get back to going back and figuring out a way to be more consistent on in the ground game and the ground attack. So that's our challenge going into this week.
Brandon Ault targeted Brennan Bolio 20 times Saturday. It's a mind-boggling number. 12 completions out of that group. Does his route running get enough credit, and why is he always open?
You know, I Bully was just really, really crafty. I think the game reps and, you know, those guys obviously have a certain level of chemistry playing all the way back to Pee Wee football, but I think there's a confidence level in him and some of the stuff that we can develop, and Coach Pike and Coach Hine are able to develop through game plans and get him in situations that are going to be successful. But he's crafty off the line. He's a big target. You know where he's going to be at. I think that's a big part of what you know, Ault and Bolio have for their chemistry. So that was good. And, you know, obviously we probably need to be a little bit more balanced and spread the ball out to different receivers. I thought, you know, Joey Barron had a really nice game and did a lot of good things. I thought Dell had a good game too. Duffy with his opportunities, but we have some other good receivers that we probably need to get in more. Jake Hill's coming back. Bubba Peters is getting close to being able to return. So we have some other dynamic guys that we got to be able to spread the ball around, and including our running backs. If we're bottling them up in the run game, those guys are certainly capable pass catchers out of the backfield.
More with Coach Bolte when we return. Our pregame continues here on the Beaver Radio Network. Welcome back to our pregame show, part two with head coach Brent Bolte. I'd like to spend some time discussing the decision to go for two and all the aspects that go into that kind of a decision. We'll start with that. How early did that conversation start?
Oh, probably at the beginning of the fourth quarter, to be honest with you. I had flipped over and was talking to Coach Pike and had full confidence. You know, we were at that point, I think we were down 7, and then they hit the big play somewhere at the end of the third, beginning of the fourth, to go down 30-16. And I just told them, I'm like, hey, we're going to go down. When we score, we'll kick it. And when we have an opportunity to win the game at the end, we're going to go for it. So it wasn't like it was a shocking revelation that we were going to do it. And, you know, looking back, I don't know if I would change anything. It was a good play call. The kid, you know, obviously defended it. It was pretty tight coverage. Some would say it was a penalty. Some say it's not. But I think at the end of the day, you can't really, you know, as frustrated I was with the officials at that particular point, like it's not – you can't leave it in their hands to make a call. So again, if I'd say, hey, I can get the ball and have an opportunity between Alt and Bolio to win the game on the road, pretty easy decision on my end. And just the way it was going in the kicking game, I think played into it as well. Just didn't feel like it was automatic that we're going to bang it through. And being on the road certainly played in that decision too. And I felt like we were fortunate to get to that point and try to steal a victory and get out of there. Was on my mind, so unfortunately we came up 2.5 yards short.
Who all has headsets, and who was all a part of that conversation?
Well, most of the staff has headsets, so it was a pretty one-way conversation. I'll take the ownership of the decision, and it was mine. Like, I don't think there was anybody that really interjected. I when we took the timeout, I probably did ask if we just wanted to play to overtime, and there was a pretty general consensus to get it done. And so the kids knew, and they know I'm pretty aggressive by nature, that we were in that situation. And I actually told some of the offensive guys that was a plan when we, you know, were in the fourth quarter. And I think, again, that gives a little bit of a confidence to them, knowing, you know, you're down 14 points, but your head coach is talking about going for 2 to win the game. So I have a lot of confidence in our team, our offense, and just, you know, again, wish we would have been able to get off the press coverage and make the throw and the catch at the end of the game. But proud of the resiliency, proud of our kids coming back. It's just we got to beat down the door and not really let it come to, you know, one pivotal point of the game. There's so many other plays, probably 4 or 5 on O, 4 or 5 on D, where we could have separated from that team and been sitting here having a whole different conversation.
I thought the play design was great. How many of those go to, in essence, 4th and 2 plays do you guys have in your playbook?
We have quite a few. I mean, we've expended a lot of them the last handful of years. We've been in those situations quite a bit, but we do it all the way starting in spring ball. We have a collection of 3rd down plays, 4th down plays. We do 2-point end of the game challenges throughout, you know, spring practices and even in the fall camp. So that's not something that we just drew in the sand on Saturday. It's something that we had repped a lot and felt pretty confident. Like, I wasn't sure what the play was when they called it, and then I saw us line up into it. I'm like, well, we're going to get it. We're going to win. And unfortunately, the kid, you know, got heavy hands on him, kind of jammed him up on the line. And, you know, it, again, I could sit here and say it was pass interference or holding, but at the end of the day, we just got to find a way to win it. And I feel bad for Bolio. He had such a great game and all stood in there, took a lot of hits and led us back. It would have been, they deserved it. They deserved to have that opportunity to win the game. And like I said before, it's just unfortunate that we came up short.
Do you have any hard and fast rules of home we're going to play for overtime, road we're not, or anything like that, or is it all gut?
A lot of times it's a little bit more gut. Like, we've gone and won games at home in overtime, and we've obviously, you know, lost them on the road. Unfortunately, the last 2 games in Sioux Falls, you probably could, went to USF and went to Augie. We came up literally 1 game, maybe 6 inches short, the other one 2.5 yards or 3 yards short. So I've always been the philosophy of who's the hot hand, and typically in the last handful of years, it's been our offense. Sometimes it's just the kicking game. It could be the elements. I know against Augie here when we went for 2, it was raining. The situation, the snap hold kick was on my mind. So a lot of factors play into it, but I go back again, like, our preparation to get to the point where we have one-offs and feel like we have plays that we can go in and get the yardage we need. I have a pretty high confidence level on our offense, and if we're in a similar situation this weekend, don't be surprised if we do the same thing.
Trust me, I'm never surprised when you guys go for it. On to Winona. Their quarterback, Trevor Paulson, has fewer pass attempts than Brandon Alt had last week alone. Do you feel like if you can stop the run, the battle in essence is won?
Not at all. Like, the oddity with Trevor is, like, there's a little bit of history there. Actually, his mom went to high school with my sister all back in Chippewa, Iowa. So I saw her at camps, and obviously we recruited a little bit, and we had our quarterback, and he ended up going to Winona at that point. But his high school coach was a college teammate of mine, so I've known about him for a long time. He's a good athlete. He's a good quarterback. Obviously, new offensive coordinator, new scheme. They've leaned on the run game a little bit, and he's had opportunities to make plays in the air. He's just been a little bit off with timing yet. I don't think you can really necessarily blame him 100%, or if it's the route, or maybe just good defense at that point. But they have leaned on their big offensive line. They got a really talented running back in Gavin. He has to be one of the top rushers in the conference. Reminds me a little bit about basically the same type of player as number four from Augie last week. Kind of a, he'll slam it up in there, but he has burst that can get out. He has shake. He's going to make guys miss at the second level. So he's pretty darn dynamic, and they got good fullbacks and tight ends. So I think with Winona right now, they've been playing really, really good defense. So why test the waters of putting the ball in harm's way when you have a good defense and their special teams have been solid? And they've won as a collective unit, I would say, more so than leaning on just an offense to score a bunch of points. I think they've been really good in all three phases. If you can average, you know, 200 yards on the ground, that would be my preference too, Schulte, to be honest with you, is hand the ball off. But they've been pretty good, and I think if he continues to grow, I think Winona has a shot to win a lot of games in the South.
Who is your best run defender?
For BSU? I think it starts with our defensive front. I think Stephen Hoffman's been playing outstanding this year in the middle. I think him and Marco Cavallaro really complement each other extremely well. Ryan Schnellbrick back from injury. That's nice to have him, another big body. DJ McCray has been in there along with Elijah Brown, and obviously we got some big, strong defensive ends. I really thought, you know, Wadsworth and Kaplan and Theo Ringgold back from injury. Ricky Thompson's been really, really good player for us this year, has developed. I tell you, Ricky, I didn't know if Ricky could play here a handful of years ago, but he's really worked his tail off to get to where he's at. So those guys have really kind of set the precedent for us up front. I think Spencer Weir's been playing a high level of backer, and to be honest with you, we need to get, hopefully, Klein back off injury. He's a big run fit safety that we've missed the previous 2 weeks, so he'll be kind of a game time decision by the end of the week, and it'd be nice to get him back. But I think Colton Herman in the back has fitted the run real well and has come up and, you know, kind of shoot a shot kind of type of mentality of being aggressive in the run game. So we honestly have been pretty good against the run this year. You know, last week you're like, you gave up 180 yards or whatever it was. You know, it's really four plays where they got over 100 yards. Otherwise, I thought we bottled up a big physical unit up front, Augie and a running quarterback. So we're going to have to do better. Obviously, I think we can win these games with giving up less points. We should be giving up, in my opinion. We should be down on that 17-point range on defense, and I think we have the capability to do that and just need to execute, not turn the ball over, and win in special teams.
One guy that stood out to me last week in particular was Max Bedouris. So good east-west, so good in space. That doesn't come naturally for a lot of guys. Why is he so good out in space?
I think the thing with Max is, number one, he's his mentality is a little bit different. Like, if you told Max to go run through, you know, brick wall, he's going to freaking line up 40 yards back and go whack away. But Max is definitely, he's just a good athlete. Like, he was kind of recruited to play safety, maybe even corner, has built himself into a linebacker. We were pretty fortunate with him and Gabe Ames last year as a 1-2 punch. And then, unfortunately, Max got hurt halfway through the year and was out the kind of the back half of the season. But he's a really special player. He can go out and cover in space. He can play man. And your prototypical nickel at this level that can go run with slot receivers, but certainly, you know, physical in the run game too. So we've been pretty fortunate the last, whatever, I guess if you say Gabe was a 6-year, I guess we're going on a decade, Schulte, I'm getting old. But he's a really good player. I apologize for leaving him off the list. You kind of take those guys for granted when you don't have to talk about them, right? They just go out there and do their job.
Hope when we chat with you in a couple hours, you're soaking wet. Best of luck.
I appreciate it.
Brett Bolte, head coach of the Beavers. Starting lineups next here on the Beaver Radio Network.